to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from the Creative Pen Podcast, and I have some big news for you today, which is very exciting. This is podcast number 134, and as I record this, it's the very last day of July 2012, and the Olympics have kicked off in London, which I have blogged about, and fantastic opening ceremony, I must say, very proud to be British, and London is in fact so exciting that I'm staying at home a lot. Crowds and me don't really go together that well. And I did a really big Olympic thing in Sydney, and as much as I loved it, it's just a bit too crowded for my liking at the moment. So anyway, so I have a really fantastic interview for you today with New York Times bestselling author CJ Lyons, who is has become a great friend of mine through recording the Pro Writer series of multimedia courses together, and we will be talking about that today. But she has a new book out called Blind Faith, and the story of that, how that book has actually, you know, took CJ to the number two on the New York Times list as an indie author, and then she sold it to St. Martin's Press, so it's now coming out again. So we're going to talk about that, about her marketing tips and all kinds of things. So that's coming up. But first of all, a bit of my news. So my big news is that I went to New York for Thriller Fest, and I have signed with a New York agent, Rachel Ekstrom from the Irene Goodman Agency, and I'm really thrilled about this. But it definitely was something that I thought very hard about, and really examined my reasons for doing this whole writing thing, because it seemed to me that as an indie, I pretty much make all my own decisions. I am ultimately free. I can, you know, I'm beholden to myself, and the money that I get every month is based on only my efforts, so I only have myself to blame. And that by pursuing, you know, a publishing deal, was I perhaps opening myself up to giving up control? And the answer is yes. But of course, I control, you know, what I sign. So I actually did have a couple of choices in the end of agents, and I went with Rachel and Irene Goodman because they have a really, you know, positive attitude towards self-publishing, understanding that for some people it's a good option. And so I really did go through the contracts that I had a choice of, and made that decision based on, you know, where I want to go, as well as where I think the industry is going. I have actually written a really long and considered post, which went through about 25 drafts. So you can have a look at that on the blog. It's under why I signed with a New York literary agent. I'll put a link on the show notes. But essentially, I do have a few goals as an author and as an entrepreneur. And the very first one is really creating great books and quality products that will delight and entertain and educate and inspire my readers. And, really, I would love a great editor who will bring my writing on. I also think traditional publishing does do great products, great quality products. And then in terms of building a long-term career, I want to widen my reader base. And although ebooks are now around 30% of book, book readership, that still leaves 70% print and bookshops and stores, etc. And also, I want to grow a sustainable income. And I actually think that's partly to do with widening my reader base and getting and becoming a better writer and producing more books. So if, you know, together I can do, I can use traditional publishing as one partner, and I can continue to self-publish other things under my own name, as CJ is, as we'll be talking about in the interview, then that's going to be the best thing for me. The other thing is that a lot of people criticise, traditional publishing around, you know, giving away this, that and the other. And I really thought about it in terms of the business partnerships that I currently use. So I pay for professional editing, cover design, formatting. I already depend on distributors like Amazon, Kobo, BookBaby, Smashwords, etc., to get my hands, to get my books into the hands of readers. And I use blogging and, you know, iTunes and social networking, and I pay for internet hosting, and I sell from my site, so I use PayPal. And really, we can't run businesses in a vacuum anymore. And I'm trying to think of this as, you know, Rachel will be my partner in trying to sell my intellectual property, you know, the rights to my intellectual property to publishers. And a publisher would be a business partner in terms of, you know, taking my work forward and making it better and more widely available. So those are some of my thoughts. There's also a healthy amount of ego involved. I'm going to just say that. Why not? I think for many of us, myself included, having a book on a bookshelf in a store where my mum and my dad can see it has, you know, got something of a nice ring to it. So, you know, that is still important to me. But yeah, I mean, there are lots and lots of reasons. I mean, social proof is a big one. I also, you know, I do have a speaking career already, but I would like to speak more about my fiction. And clearly I would love a movie of the Arcane books and Morgan Sierra, who I describe as, you know, a bit like Lara Croft, sort of kick-ass lady, intelligent lady. And yeah, so that is far more likely to happen if I get into traditional publishing. So anyway, those are many of my things around the whole agent idea. And in terms of New York, even though I live in London, for me, if you know, this is not about getting a publisher just because it's a publisher. Clearly, I'm doing all right on my own, and so for me, if I'm going to get a publishing deal, it has to be something that is significant, and for me that does mean doing well in America. And it's such a big market, it's 4 times as big as the UK in terms of you know, book reading public, as well as you know, if you get a book deal in America, very often the UK will be interested anyway. So I really wanted to aim for the US. And I was at Thrillerfest, so that's my other thing I wanted to mention. I was at Thrillerfest in New York the other week, 2 weeks ago now, and my first time in New York. I had a fantastic time. I absolutely recommend Thrillerfest if you're a thriller writer, obviously, probably even if you're like a mystery writer as well. Although there are obviously lots of other conferences, it's a very professional convention with some very big names there. I was excited to hang out with Lee Child and Jeffrey Deaver, and you know, have chats with you know, great authors like Boyd Morrison. You know, I met Lisa Gardner, which was brilliant, and really just met a whole load of great people and learnt an awful lot. I went to Craft Fest, which was their sort of workshops on, you know, the craft of writing. Heard some really interesting stuff. Lee Child did a great talk about just not, you know, giving in to all the rules, and he was fantastic, actually. Really lovely man, just very funny and humble. I think one of the biggest things that I felt, and I have a blog post on 50 things I learned at Thrillerfest, so you can go read that if you're interested. But I really felt really happy to be at the bottom of a ladder. I feel almost like perhaps I hadn't even got on the ladder before Thrillerfest, which is an odd thing to say because I have 2 fiction books out. But there's kind of this, there is a professional route as an author, and the guys who are towards the top of the ladder have a lot of books. They've been doing this for years, some of them 20, 30 years. They earn really good money and they work really hard to continually produce great books. So Yeah, I was really impressed with the big name guys and how they've consistently put it out there to stay at the top of their game. So that was great. So I had some really excellent socializing, a lot of great learning. I managed to get a gun off a Marine, which was in the fight scene workshop, which I'm very proud of, and there's a picture of that on my website, which was fun. He was talking, the guy called Jack Hoban, about writing fight scenes and the ethical warrior, which was fascinating. He has a book of the same name if you're interested. And then, yeah, the Asian Fest. And, to be honest, I wasn't even going to pitch. I was not going to go down that route. I think partly because I was scared and scared of rejection. Actually, that's probably true. Because basically, I haven't been rejected, which is quite funny to say that. I should have put it on my post. But I never did pitch my fiction. And so I haven't ever queried in the proper manner, the official manner, and I've never been rejected. So I think doing this pitching thing was quite funny for me. It turned out that everyone was interested. So I still haven't been rejected, but I definitely kind of, shortcut the process in one way, but in another way, I haven't shortcut anything because I've spent 4 years building up a platform. I've spent 3 years writing novels. I haven't really been sitting around wasting time. So I haven't shortcut the process, but I haven't been rejected. So anyway, that's kind of the long way round what I've been doing over the last few weeks. To be honest, I'm actually really very tired. I think Thriller Fest was hardcore, and I had some sleepless nights over this whole agent thing. Now I am trying to get back on track. So I've just this last week, I've read through my first draft of Exodus, which is the third Arcane novel. And at the moment, I'm working on, I've just started today starting on the second draft. Got a lot of new scenes to write, really amping up the bad guy. And I'm quite excited about this one, actually. It's quite good, if I do say so myself. But the point is, I'm really enjoying writing it, and I think that's quite critical in the process. So yeah, I'm loving that. I'm also desperate to start the next book after this, which is really forming in my head, and I definitely want to get on with that. But that will probably be a few months. Okay, so that's enough of me. We're going to get on with the interview with New York Times bestselling author CJ Lyons. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today I'm here with CJ Lyons. CJ is the New York Times bestselling author of 16 novels described as thrillers with heart. Her FBI thriller series continues to dominate the Amazon charts, but today we're talking about her latest novel, Blind Faith, which has just been released. CJ and I have also worked on the Pro Writer series of multimedia courses together, so welcome, CJ.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. Lovely to see you again.
We're both recuperating from Thriller Fest, so
We
we
are,
look
and
a little.
it was awesome, and I'm going to come back to that. But let's start with Blind Faith. So it's released July 31st, which is next week as we start. But the story of how it came to be is a fascinating one. So I wondered if you could start by telling us that the story of the story.
Oh, absolutely. But I should mention first, because I really do owe my publishers in the UK a little note of applause. Little Brown UK is releasing the Blind Faith ebook on the same day, July 31st, that the Blind Faith paperback and ebook comes out in the United States from St. Martin's. So thank
Yes.
you, Little Brown. That was so thoughtful of you guys to do that for me. Okay, so how did we even get here? Well, the story behind the actual story of Blind Faith, I was actually inspired by a newspaper article. And I was working as a pediatrician at the time, and it described a mother's journey. She was physically walking across one of our major highways, close to 800 miles, searching for the graves of her two children. What had happened was she was divorced, and her ex-husband had taken the kids for a weekend and just never returned. And he abducted them They tracked him down, but he committed suicide before he told them where the bodies of the children were. And so all she knew was that he had been sighted along this one highway, and it had to be somewhere along there. So my heart just went out for her as I thought of, you know, here's this mother grieving and yet unable to really move on with her life. Because her grief is just so devastating until she finds her kids and is able to bring them home and find that closure. But of course, in the thriller writer of me was just in awestruck of the level of just betrayal, you know, that a man that you love, that you raised a family with, could do that to you. And what would make someone feel that compelled to go that far? So in Blind Faith, what I started with is a mother watching the execution of a serial killer who's confessed to killing her son and her husband. And she's vowed, she's a school teacher, so she has a summer off, so she's vowed to take that summer to find their graves, to find their bodies and bring them home. And I actually started writing the book as a grief journal. In this character. And as I was writing her little entries in her grief journal, it was interesting because I found myself actually physically weeping and crying. And I realized I was actually still, even all this time later, exploring the grief I had surrounding the murder of my friend when I was an intern at Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. So it was really... It was painful and yet cathartic at the same time to write these entries and then to build this character around them that could come from such despair and devastation and find her strength and find an ability to just keep going and to face whatever obstacles and betrayals are in her path. And so she actually starts as a rather weak character because she is mired in this grief and can't move on with her life, but then transforms into this very powerful woman who is able to once again believe in the power of love, but also to forgive the ultimate betrayal by her husband.
No, it sounds fantastic. And what about the publishing journey? Because the audience are writers and they are fascinated with how did this book get to, you know, where it is about to be now launched with traditional big, you know, fanfare?
Well, it's kind of an interesting synchronicity because the publishing journey actually also started with a period of mourning and grief. I was actually contracted for two novels with a New York City publisher, and I was so excited about a new career in writing that I had made a huge leap of faith, and I had left my career in medicine. After 17 years, I left my practice. And I moved 1,000 miles away from home, and I quit my job to write full time. Well, 90 days before my first book was due to come out, the publisher canceled the contract they didn't cancel the contract. They canceled the book because of cover art difficulties. So something I had no control over. And suddenly my dream debut is gone. And I didn't know what to do. Of course, I felt sorry for myself at first, but, you know, I had no choice but to keep writing. This is my new career. I couldn't go back. So I kept writing. And while I was writing, I fought to get the rights back on those books. 2 weeks after we got the rights back, Berkeley actually came to me and invited me to write a new series, create it totally from scratch for them. So that was kind of very fulfilling because that told me that, you know what, keeping on writing is the right thing to do. But here's where karma really shows her sense of humor. The book I wrote while I was going through that turmoil and I had lost my dream debut and I was unemployed for the first time in my life and just had no idea how I was going to, you know, make it all work out, that was Blind Faith. So Blind Faith, then I indie published it in the end of 2010, and in July and August of 2011, it debuted at number 2 on the New York Times list and climbed as high as number 4 in the USA Today bestselling list. And then in September, St. Martin's Press bought the rights to it. So it went from indie published, hitting the New York Times list, to being sold to St. Martin's, And then my editor at St. Martin's fell in love with one of the secondary characters who had a rather bad ending in the first version. So we gave him a chance for redemption. And so there's a new ending in the new print version. And that's the version that's coming out July 31st in mass market and as a new ebook.
And I love the story because it pretty much shows you that, you know, you can do lots of different things with books over time. It's not, you know, there's not necessarily one solution fits all books. So you're now successfully managing this. We're calling it a hybrid author career. You know, you have some books indie and your indie books right now, as we said, your FBI thrillers and some of your other ones are doing amazingly well in the charts. I know you're selling like over 100,000, you know, regularly a month, which is fantastic. So, but you still sign with traditional publishing. So what would you say to people, you know, who are really like myself, you know, I've been conflicted about this. What is your opinion about the market right now? You know, what should people be thinking?
Well, here's the thing. And then if you're looking at the market right now, at this instant, we just had a new broker study and BISG studies come out, that's the Book Industry Study Group, that showed that here in the United States, ebooks have climbed to about 28 to 30% of the market, but that still means that 70% of your readers are buying physical books. And I know from knowing my own readers and the fan letters I get and the notes I get from them that even though a vast majority of them are buying my ebooks, they still want a physical product to put on their bookshelf. They have ownership in that. That like reflects their personality. And I think that's actually going to be the future of publishing. It is perhaps not publishing every book out there in print, but the books that readers really become wedded to, like my readers have proven that with Blind Faith, that they actually want a physical copy. That's important to them. So I knew my readers still want to see me in bookstores. So that's why I've signed. I also still am learning so much about this industry. And one of the best ways I found to learn it, and this is one of the reasons why I just signed a second contract for a YA with another New York City publisher, is that it helps me learn the marketing. It helps me learn what works and what doesn't work as far as packaging a book. And these are all things that I can take back and use in my self-published books. And in fact, I have. So in a way, I'm getting paid to be educated while at the same time, I'm making money on my own. So I really think it's the best of all worlds for everyone, for readers, writers, agents selling sub-rights, and publishers. I think the publishers are probably struggling the most, though, because they're trying to find their path in all this chaos. But for us writers, it's really a question of knowing what our vision is. If you're just starting out and you have the kind of book that you know is such a high concept, wonderful idea that you could reach a worldwide audience and you could compete with New York Times best-selling authors, then maybe a traditional publisher might be the way to go because they have right now the ability to reach that other 70% of the reading population and to package you and build you. Now, if you're someone who has already made a connection with readers, especially if they're online, perhaps through like short stories or things like that, and you know that you have the ability to continue that engagement by self-publishing and by connecting with them online, then doing the indie publishing ebooks might be better suited for you. So I think each of us has to find our path. And just like my path has had a lot of downs as well as a lot of ups, everyone's going to find that. So, you know, it's not just making one choice about your career. It's going to be making one choice for now and then looking at the next fork in the road, you know, in about 3, 4, 6 months.
Yeah, and it is amazing, but let me go straight into asking you about your secret, because I think this will also go into what I was about to say. So you are selling all these books every month, so everybody wants to know, what is the marketing secret? What is the way to do this?
Okay, all right, here's the secret. Everyone, you got a pen, you got a piece of paper, you ready? This is the secret, okay? big deal. You need to write more books. They have to be good books. And you have to give your readers time to find them and to tell their friends. That's it. That's it. That's the magic. If you think about it, that's exactly what New York City Publishing is doing. That's what bookstores do when they keep those books out there up front longer to give people time to find them. But what it boils down to and what writers don't like is there is the writing more books that are good books, which is work. And then there's the giving your readers time to find them, which is patience.
Yeah.
Okay, what two things do we usually not want to deal with? Working hard and patience. So.
Oh, no, I agree with you. And I mean, obviously, I knew you were going to say that, but it is... That's the thing, and that's both a curse and a blessing. You know, it is a lot of work, but also it's a blessing because we've got this time. And you think that, okay, so oh my goodness, I've made this decision about this book, but that's not it. That's not it for us. You know, you've got these 16 now more books. We had breakfast in New York, and around the table there was about 200 books. You know, out of three authors, it was amazing. You know, maybe
I think it was even more than that. Yeah,
because. Ridiculous numbers of books written around the table with these ladies, and you know, that's to me, that's what Thriller Fest gave me. It was this ability to see that being at the bottom of the ladder is just, you know, it's a step, and you can see people on the ladder, but they are older and wiser, and they've worked hard and they've had patience along the way.
Yeah, and I think that's important. The tipping point for me when I started was about 4 to 6 books, 4 to 6 months. I think that might actually be compressing nowadays, now that we have more people finding ebooks more easily with all the search engines and blogs and Twitter, you know, feeds out there. So that might actually be faster for some new people. I do think it might be a challenge, though, in the next year or so, as so many traditionally published authors get the rights back to their backlist because their names are already well known. So for a new person starting out, maybe in 6 to 8 months or a year from now, it might be a bit more of a challenge, and they might need to work harder at getting more books out there and at giving their readers time to find them and encouraging their readers to talk about them and spread the words. But really, I mean, you know, if you write a good book and you have follow-up, it's going to be really hard for the people that only write one book. But if you write a good book and you're able to give your reader instant satisfaction with when they finish that book, there's another book out there for them to buy, they're going to buy it. So you just have to trust that. It works very well.
And it does work well, but I think there's a caveat, and you helped me with this, which is the whole promise to the reader and around in terms of author branding, in terms of promise to the reader. So you helped me come up with, you know, my tagline, you know, ancient mystery, modern thrill, which really helps the reader know what they're getting. It helps me know more about my brand, the imaging, all of those things. Now, if people, and last night I was at an event where people were saying, but I just want to write all different books. I want to do all different things, you know. So how, you know, when we're talking about writing the next book, how does that fit with branding, and what are the tips you can give around that?
Well, I think it's important, first of all, to know yourself. And that's what actually became the heart of your brand and my brand, you know, is knowing the kind of books, the kind of stories that we love and that we want to tell. Like I said, you know, I just signed a contract for a YA. Well, those are going to be YA thrillers with heart. I mean, they are still going to be thrillers, but they're going to be very much about the relationships that these young people are struggling with. So that totally fits in my brand, even though it's a different audience. Now, here's the thing, though. If you want to write, say, Amish romances, which are very sweet and there's no sex in them, and you also want to write the next 50 Shades of Grey, then you have to plan for that in your business plan. And you might have to find yourself, it's like a product line for, you know, a company. For instance, Procter Gamble over here in the U.S. Well, they make everything from Tide laundry detergent to toothpaste. And they're not going to put out 20 different kinds of toothpaste if that's a new market for them. They're going to put out one, and then when people love that, they're going to have another one that's just like it, only a little different, and they're going to build that brand, and then they'll go and build the Tide laundry detergent brand. So you might find yourself either using pen names if they're very divergent reader groups and audiences, or if you actually can encompass all of it under one brand, you might do better keeping your own name. And it might be more of, well, if you like, you know, a little bit of romance with your thrills, which is, in my case, I do have some romantic thrillers in addition to some straight mainstream FBI thrillers, then I steer that audience towards my Hart and Drake medical suspense series, because those do have some explicit sex and lots of romance, but they're very much in that thriller pacing. You know, if people really just like the FBI stuff, then I steer them to the Lucy Gardino series, and the new series will be Blind Faith is actually the first book of, which will be the Caitlin Tierney FBI series. So it's not that I have to change my brand. The books are still very much thrillers with heart, and that's what sets them apart from anyone else's books. But I have to understand that it's going to take longer to grow each segment of my brand if I am dividing my audience. So if you're just starting out, I would recommend focusing on one audience. Build them. Now, that might still be a wide spectrum of books. I mean, look at the romance readers. You know, they'll read anything from historical to Western to thriller, you know, and a lot of them will read across the spectrum. So if you know your audience, you can understand how defined your brand has to be. But once you build that, then it's a lot easier to kind of steer segments of the audience in other directions. So I guess that would be my counsel, is to start with your brand that you really love, be passionate about it, have a clear vision of the kind of promise you're making your reader, and keep writing books that fulfill that promise. And then once you have a readership, it's much easier to do a little divergence.
Absolutely. And then, of course, if they read one, they love it, they'll go to buy the next one, and they won't be disappointed. They'll be so happy because it fulfills their expectation. And I think people get a little bit het up about that and think that it somehow, you know, is against some kind of creative spirit that we can just, you know, but it... What I like about you and the Pro Writer series that we've been putting together is the idea that the author is a business, we're entrepreneurs, and you talk then about having a business plan. And that being a professional writer with making money is important to both of us. So I wondered if you could talk about that. What is a pro writer in your definition?
Well, to me, a pro writer, and this is a big difference between someone that is just enjoying writing and enjoying calling themselves a writer. A pro writer consistently puts out good quality products. And if, since we're talking professionalism, you know, we will call them products instead of stories. That doesn't mean they're any less creative. But they are putting out good quality products that are satisfying the readers, and they are keeping their promise to the reader. So I always say writers write, successful writers keep writing. And in fact, my own journey has certainly proven that. But that doesn't mean that you have to lock yourself into any particular genre. It doesn't mean you have to use a formula to write. What it means is you're making a promise to your readers, and you're going to continue to fulfill that by writing the books they love. Now, you can push the boundaries and experiment. I've even had paranormal elements in some of my books, along with various types of romance and degrees of sexual, you know, episodes. So, you know, you can push the boundaries, but a pro writer will keep writing and will keep their audience happy. And in fact, the best words of advice I have for any new professional writer are the words that Jeffrey Deaver gave to me when my first book was out. And we're sitting at an awards banquet, and both our books won, so that was kind of fun. And I asked him, I said, my second book's about ready to come out. What advice would you have for someone in my, you know, situation? And he said, just never forget the reader is God. And at first it seems very simplistic. And you might even shy away from it because it feels like, oh, I'm not writing to a person. I'm writing from my heart. Well, you still write from your heart with the first draft. I mean, my first drafts are very messy and very selfishly just for me. I'm having fun. But before you publish that book, because when you publish a book, it becomes a product. So before you publish that book, you think about your reader first, and you go back, and every revision and every choice you make as far as editing and tightening and points of view has to be about what is going to give my reader more bang for their buck. What is going to make it worthwhile that they feel delighted to have invested their time and their energy and their money in my books. And that will make them want to turn to the next book immediately and buy it. That's what you have to be thinking. So if you keep that in mind, everything else actually falls into place quite nicely.
Well, I, and again, I think for some people this is a big mind shift, because when we start writing and when we love to write, you know, a lot of it is very much what's in us. You know, or when you talked about a grief journal, then a lot of people would have written a grief journal about their life. It's a kind of, you know, confessional way of writing. It's very personal. But what we're talking about is, yes, sure, do all of that in your first draft, but then shift your mind entirely to the reader perspective and stop being selfish. That's what we're saying, really.
Basically, yes. In fact, I think of my first draft as a very selfish draft. I have fun. I play around. But my second draft, I actually call it my revisioning draft. In other words, not just revising where I'm playing with words, but revisioning, looking at the big picture from a reader. Stephen King says this in his wonderful book on writing, that, you know, he often will put his first draft in a drawer for a couple months so that he can come back to it with a reader's eye. He also uses his wife, Tabitha, as his perfect reader. And so if she stumbles on something, you know, he just gets a red pen out. Okay, didn't work for Tabitha. It's not going to work for my other readers. So I think it's very important. And again, if you're treating this as I want to publish, which means you want readers to look at your work.
Yes.
You have to treat it as a product at that point and invite opinions, just like a big business would get an opinion group to on any new product that they launched. So you have to be open to that. And I think as writers, sometimes we guard our heart too much. You know, we're like, oh, I can't change that. I love that line. Well, if it doesn't work for the reader, then it might be a lovely piece of prose, but it doesn't work for the reader. Therefore, it has to go. It's kind of that old Buddhist saying, you know, kill your darlings, kill the Buddha if you see him on the road.
Yeah, and I was going to say that is exactly the definition of kill your darlings. And I think I only got it this week, actually, because I finished the first draft of the third Arcane novel before Thriller Fest. And, you know, 2.5 weeks later, I started reading it this week for the first rewrite. And there was a whole section I went off on some, you know, nuclear physics tack. And then I was like, yeah, it was really interesting, but it doesn't really fit.
Well, Kat, don't feel bad, because I mean, I still do it every time. I actually have a little folder on my computer for each book that I just call snips. Yeah. And it's where I put stuff in there. And you know what's funny is a lot of times I'll come back and actually use those pieces, but somewhere else. It was just that at the time of writing the first draft, I was writing so hard to get everything down, I didn't realize it didn't fit in that particular piece. And sometimes I'll use them in other books. It's like once you get into a real creative surge, your brain starts working overtime, and sometimes you don't realize it, but you're actually writing things that don't belong in that story, but do deserve their own story. So that actually makes you more productive, because then you already have the start to another story right there. So I think people have to not be afraid of that red pen editing kind of thinking, because it can actually not only make the current book better, it can actually seed your future books so that you never have to worry about writer's block.
And there is so much we could talk about, but actually we have already talked about a lot of these things. Okay. And I should tell people, the Pro Writer series is now fully available. We've got 4 modules. So people can go to thecreativepen.com/Pro Writer and have a look. But can you just explain why you wanted to do the 4 modules and, you know, why you're so passionate about sharing this information? And I should say we have over 24 hours of interview with CJ in those courses. Okay. So.
There's tons of material in there. And that's just the interviews. There's all the written material.
Just so much.
From me, but from guests. And Joanna shared all of her technical secrets to how to do the self-publishing with all the platforms, as well as her marketing secrets of social media. So, you know, kudos to you as well. Honestly, though, I had a very selfish reason for sharing all this and for creating my NoRulesJustWrite.com blog. And that was just the practicality of there's only so many hours in a day.
Yep.
And as I became more popular as a fiction novelist, my readers were just demanding that I write faster and that I get more books out to them. And so I had to cut back on my second love, which is teaching. I love teaching. But when I teach an online course, I can't get any writing done that month because I get so involved with my students and I'm there all the time answering questions and things. And so I've actually pretty much, I think there's maybe 2 more online courses scheduled over the next 2 years. Other than that, I've said no to just about everything. Mm-hmm. I've even had to cut back on some of my live speaking engagements. But it's such a renaissance for writers, and not just a renaissance as far as new things happening and new technology, but a revolution in our thinking and our skill set. So since I was able to kind of learn so much so fast, I thought, well, if I can put this all in one place, what a great shortcut for people so that they won't have to take the time and energy and the missteps that I had on my journey. So that's really why I created the blog and why I was so thrilled about taking everything even deeper with the Pro Writer series, because there's no way I could give up 24 hours of writing, you know, over a period of time to teach that over and over and over again. So now it's all there. It's all in one place. And as things change, we can add to it. You know, we can answer comments. We can give people guidance. It's very personal, which actually you and I both have already done for some of our students. It's all right there. So I love that idea of it's convenient for them and it's convenient for us. So it's a win-win.
Exactly. And when, you know, we started doing that in February, I think it took us about 4 months on and off to do all 4 modules. So we have Secrets of Traditional Publishing, which I think I will have recorded this in the introduction, but I signed with an agent, as you know, a New York agent, and I absolutely credit the information that I learned from you in that course. As I interviewed you.
Well, see, it works.
it does work, but also the stuff on contracts was really useful for me because it made me think about business. This is a business. And we also have Secrets of a Pro Writer, where we do go into a lot of the entrepreneurial stuff as well as creativity. We have Secrets of Independent Authors and also the marketing module, which is huge. Really mega, mega huge. So if people want more of CJ and indeed of myself, you can go to thecreativepen.com/prowriter. So, finally, tell us where people can find you and find all your books, in fact.
Well, my fiction is cjlyons.net, and I do have a newsletter called Thrillers with Heart, and if you sign up for that, you get the first issue for free, which features an interview with Sandra Brown. And in the back of that issue is a little page that will give you information on how to get a free book from me. So if you're interested in my fiction, you can actually go there and get a free book. Blind Faith will be out in all the major U.S. stores, including Target, Walmart, all the major bookstores, a lot of the airport bookstores. On July 31st is, of course, available on all the online venues. And then the Little Brown UK ebook will be available on all the UK sites. So it's going to be a really thrilling July 31st for me.
It's going to be brilliant. So thanks ever so much for your time, CJ. That was great.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!